Hey everybody, Stu Smith here going live. New time, if you noticed, it's 9:30, not 9 o'clock, so I am not late. Last week I mentioned we would be changing the time to 9:30, and look at that, I'm early. So I needed it, because my mornings on Monday and Tuesday are getting a little longer, largely due to our spring-summer training cycle, where the runs are getting longer. The reps are getting higher, and it just takes more time. The swims are getting longer. You know, all of those things in this calisthenics and cardio cycle just take more time to do. So we may be waking up a little bit earlier some days just to get things done before everybody has to head to work. But that's how we're answering it. And I just bumped this over 30 minutes just so I can be a better coach, especially to those that need help swimming locally. So I don't know if you read the title. Title of this one is about be an asset. Don't just try to gain them. And it's something I'm working on right now while you guys congregate. I'll tell you a little bit about it. Then I'll take some questions. But this is one of those stories that I've seen happen to so many people, and you know, the couple of generations that I've seen go through this timeline, it's just something that I think is alarming, that we can be a little more proactive with our fitness training so we are actually a capable asset. And what I mean by that is, you know, when we're young, we're young, strong, athletic. We do things, you know, if you work out or you work hard physically, you know, a lot of times before you've gotten an education or you've done anything as far as training, you know, you do manual labor jobs. A lot of us did. Some people don't. That's fine. But, you know, the way the society is changing into a more technology-based world, there are fewer jobs that require actual physical labor. There's still some out there. I would recommend people doing them while they're young, just because one, it's a good way to earn money, but also it's a it just helps you with just durability and your ability to just grind it out on long days. Sometimes those, you know, 9-to-5 jobs is a grind, as you know. School's not much different. Grinding through school sometimes. But I don't want to get too sidetracked here and make this point clear to you guys. But what happens is while we're young, we tend to be very capable. You know, we could be strong enough to carry somebody out of a burning house or potentially, you know, save somebody. If you know how to swim, you can save somebody drowning, or you can get somebody to help. You know, even that is, if that's carrying them on your back to do that. You know, and you're also maybe considered not a threat, or you're considered not a target to a person who is potentially wanting to cause harm, whether that's a mugging, a robbery, you know, whatever. You know, people may avoid you because you're not a very good target. So what I tend to do is ask people, right? Are you able to help people in those dangerous situations? Do you need help? And when people ask me, what's the difference between tactical fitness and regular fitness? There's a big difference. And the underlying goal of tactical fitness is to make sure you can still be capable of doing your job in the tactical world, which are dangerous jobs that are very often in those life or death situations. Are you an asset to be able to help somebody? First of all, help yourself out of those dangerous situations. Are you able to be an asset to help others in dangerous situations? And can you stop bad guys from doing those dangerous things and hurting people? So that's the underlying goal of tactical fitness. The methods to get there may be similar to an athlete, but they're different in this way. You're right, an athlete needs to be great at one or two elements of fitness. Like a swimmer doesn't need to run, right? Or do agility ladders, right? Or obstacle courses. They need to swim and get strong. They probably lift the weights and, you know, get some power in there. But, you know, a runner doesn't need to lift. You know, a lifter doesn't need to run, but a tactical athlete just needs to do all of those things and be good at all of them, not necessarily great at one or two. If you're a former athlete, you probably are great at one or two, but then you have some weaknesses that you've ignored for the last 10 years because you've been focused on this athletic, you know, challenges that are great. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's always an underlying weakness when people come into these professions that they cannot ignore. And I've seen so many people ignore their weakness just to get their strength stronger so they can win a 4-mile timed run. But they've neglected to put on 20 pounds of muscle and they get crushed by a boat or a log. That's just SEAL training specifically. But it happens throughout all the different jobs in the tactical world. You know, you ignore your weakness and it's going to be definitely discovered in the first few days of your tactical training, I promise you. So anyway, what happens is the younger gain all these abilities, you know, because they're just young and strong and virile. They may not have a lot of skills yet, but that they're accumulating those while they're young in their 20s and 30s. And then let's say they get out of the military or they quit working out because they're no longer athletes. So they're young and strong, but now they're going to go into a different job because they have greater responsibilities. Maybe they're taking on house payments and taking care of a family and, you know, things like that. You know, car payments, all those things require you to work in some fashion and get money. And sometimes those jobs are going to be rather sedentary. Next thing you know, you are now out of shape, deconditioned. You're making great money. You're building up some great assets, but you are no longer an asset. You're no longer capable of helping yourself. You're no longer capable of helping others around you. So that has happened. I can't tell you how many times, you know, 40, 50 year olds contact me. In fact, most people who train with me online are over the age of 40 that are trying to get back to where they were and just be a little stronger and be a little more capable of one, helping themselves, but two, being an asset to their family and wanting to live a little longer to, you know, see their kids grow up and have see grandkids grow up. So, you know, those are things that have to occur through health and nutrition and exercise. And while you're at it, you know, if you're going to exercise, you might as well exercise to a point where you are now capable of answering questions like, do you need help getting out of a burning house? Can you help others get out of a burning house? Can you help others in any type of dangerous situation? Can you help yourself in those type of dangerous situations? Fall in a body of water? Can you get out? Can you help somebody who is drowning in that same body of water? You know, so those are just questions that I like to ask people. Basically, do you need to be saved in those situations, or can you save yourself or save others? And tactical fitness training, getting good at everything, can help you answer that question a whole lot better. And now there are situations, obviously, where, you know, you're ill, you're injured, that causes the inability to be a complete asset to, you know, those types of situations. So I'm not trying to bash anybody who can't do it due to certain life circumstances. But if it is completely your own fault because you have not worked out for the last 2 decades, you can get back on the wagon. Even after 40 years old and a heart attack at 38, you can be 45 and 50 in the best shape of your life. I promise you. I've seen it countless times. And now for you young guys who are probably listening, thinking I'm just talking about old people. Well, guess what? It's going to be a blink of an eye and you're going to be a lot older too. And my advice to you is just make sure you reach a point and you're able to maintain it and don't fall off the wagon of basic exercise and nutrition, because, you know, being an unhealthy country is disturbing. We could do a lot better. So, all right, folks, that's my little article that I'm going to be writing today. It's going to be up on military.com. Not only am I discussing that topic, but I'm also going to offer some solutions to help with very basic nutrition to get you back in the habit of training. And that's really all it's going to take. It's going to take you to just start creating a habit of exercise again and eating right, not drinking, not smoking. I mean, doing things that can actually make you healthy. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but it can be done, I promise you. Oh, all right. So look like I'm already at 900 words on this thing. I might have to edit some of it. So let's see what's going on with the questions. I just wanted to have something to talk about while we start on this new time at 9:30. I hope it fits people's schedules. Definitely fits mine now. But let's take some questions and see what's going on. So, been wondering if you think I should ask an active SEAL if I know if he would be willing to train or mentor me. I mean, it never hurts. I mean, some active duty guys just don't have time to train because they're just never around. You know, so they may write you up something to do. They may not be there every day for you, excuse me. But I don't think it hurts to ask. I mean, it really depends on who you ask. Some people are very good at coaching. Some people are very good at being instructors and making you guess whether or not you really want to do this. You know, so it can go one way or another. You can have a guy who's very helpful and wants to build you up, or you could get a guy who's just going to yell at you and break you down to a point of testing whether or not you really want to do it. Both are very useful, right? Because you need both at some point, right? Because you kind of need to get used to negative feedback. So you just need to take it as feedback, not get discouraged by it and think maybe this isn't for me. With, you know, 6 or 8 months of solid training, you could probably handle that activity that he's given you negative feedback for. So just know what you're going to get when you ask for help. You might get one or the other. And like I said, neither one's a bad thing. Thank you. I did. Which physical labor jobs can you get with minimal tertiary education, which hopefully also pays well? Well, I'm not one to talk because I've done labor jobs such as mowing neighbors' grasses, mowing the yards, edging. You know, that was easy. Just walk around with a lawnmower and a gas tank and just ask people if they want their lawn mowed. And I mean, back in my day, it was $5 to mow somebody's grass. I think I'm paying every now and then when my lawnmower breaks, I pay a kid $20 to mow it. Takes them 30 minutes, and that's a pretty good hourly rate. So, yeah, I mean, you get enough of those things in, you're pretty solid. So that's one. Another one is I did landscaping, and that was not good hourly rate. I think it was minimum wage. But I was outside all day, learned how to take care of tools and equipment. You know, there were some skills there that were also very helpful. Learn how to plant things and move things, you know, so it kind of helped me later years with my own yard. And then worked on a farm. That was good. A lot of minimal labor or manual labor at minimum pay. In fact, I think I would get $50 a day, but this was in the 80s, so wasn't bad. You could buy a lot more stuff at $50 a day back then. But I was moving watermelons all day long, and that was just, it was just fun because all my friends were out there, basically my whole football team, and we just worked like dogs all summer loading semi-trucks full of watermelons. And that was good. We came out, we came back tough, and then we go lift weights at the high school right after work. So we'd be in there from 6 to 6 and then lift from 6:30 to 7:38. Man, that was good summers. Lots of fun. So, I mean, you just got to find some. You know, something that gives you some skills is never a bad thing. Construction, you know, handyman, apprenticeships type stuff. Learning a trade, never a bad thing. So, yeah. Lots of ideas out there. I'm fresh out of high school, wondering if it'd be better to go college or just enlist. Well, depends on what you're trying to do when you just enlist, right? If you enlist, are you trying to go spec ops right out of high school? Because I'm going to tell you, you know, your chances are really low of making it through. I think teenagers have like single digit percentage of making it through BUDS because, I mean, I know just my own class alone, and it hasn't gotten better. It's actually gotten worse. That we would have guys, you know, 100 or so teenagers in the class. And by the time we graduated 6 months later, we had 3 in the class. So you do the percentage numbers on that. It's real easy. You know, less than 5% is pretty common. So my advice is take some time, finish growing. Most high school kids aren't done growing. Every now and then I see a man child at 18 years old. I'm like, yeah, you might have a chance. You know, someone who's wrestled and swam and played hard sports, worked hard during the off season. You know, all those things are really good attributes to go into BUDS as a teenager or even as a 20-year-old. I remember we had a kid recently who is a SEAL now, started working out with us. His first day of running with us, he was going to go talk to a recruiter that day. First day of running with us, he's had shin splints for 6 weeks. Luckily he got shin splints because he goes, yeah, I probably need to wait before I go talk to a recruiter. I said, yeah, you do. You have no business going to a recruiter until you're crushing this PST and can run without pain. So it took him a good 6 months to get over those shin splints. Took him another 5 or 6 months to crush the PST. Next thing you know, the second year he's with us, he is just crushing everybody. You know, he turns 19, turns 20. He joins the Navy at 20 years old instead of 18 and makes it through. And those kind of kids who listen typically do well. You know, he got over the young person injuries that are very common to new runners. You know, he grew up a little bit. He got a job and went to school part-time, learned to be a EMT while he was doing that, took a scuba course. There's plenty of things to do. You know, you can get a job and do those things and actually come out a little bit stronger and more resilient from 18 to 20 than you would if you just joined the Navy. You know, and my number one rule is don't even talk to a recruiter until you're crushing the PST. So if you're crushing the PST at 17, 18 years old, okay, you got number one in your back pocket. Number two is, you know, make sure you've really are ready, right? Are you mentally ready to do this? You know, is it your first time spending, you know, more than a week or more living away from your house? You know, are you going to be homesick? Chances are, if you've never been a long time without your home or out your friends, going to be homesick, and that's tough to do. You're going to be living in a new city with a whole bunch of new people, and everybody's going to be yelling at you and being expected to perform at the highest level of anything in your life. Girlfriend breaks up with you, now you're sad. You know, you're looking at a perfect storm for failure. And that's what happens. So that's my advice for those who are fresh out of high school. You may not like it, and you may see some of these, you know, SEALs online that, you know, went to Buds at 17, graduated at 18. You know, those are unicorns. Those things do not happen in every class, multiple people. Like I said, you usually have two or three teenagers that make it through a class. I think one of the highest numbers I've seen teens make it was like 8. So just be patient, right? And really train hard, get ready, put on some muscle mass if you need to, lose weight if you need to. Just be capable of being a good student. I'm a junior in high school right now, want to go to college and then the military. That'd be 6 years. Good. What do you recommend I do to prepare? I'm so far out. Well, nothing wrong with starting preparing. I mean, you could do a PST prep program if you're looking for the Navy, or, you know, ACFT if you're going Army. Like this one right here is just the PST prep program, phase one. You know, it's for anybody wanting to go SEAL, SWIC, EOD, diver, SARC, rescue swimmer. You know, it is built for that fitness test. And I got a whole bunch of them for the Army and Marine Corps and Air Force, built for those fitness tests. That's phase one of tactical fitness. Can you get through the can you get to the training by crushing the PST? Because they are competitive if you want to go in the Spec Ops world. If you're just wanting to enlist and go regular Navy, not that big a deal, be honest with you, or even, you know, regular military. Though I will say Army and Marine Corps, if you're going that option, you definitely want to train, because those boot camps are harder. You will run more. You will ruck more. They're just harder physically than Air Force and Navy. But my advice would be to, take the PST, see how you do, assess yourself, see where your strengths and weaknesses are, and then get on a seasonal tactical fitness periodization program. So those are like this, right? The seasonal tactical fitness periodization spring training. This is the one we're about to finish. This is our next to the last week before we start the summer training. And that's going to be a little more based on calisthenics and cardio. So if you don't know what seasonal tactical fitness periodization is, I am going to put it in the comment section below here. And it's just an article link. You can just click it, cut and paste it, put it in, whatever you need to do. But it tells you everything about seasonal tactical fitness periodization and why it is so important to get good at everything versus just passing the PST, right? There's more to it. All right. Phase one is to get to the training with passing the PST, crushing the PST. Phase two is getting through your selection or boot camp or academy, whatever you're going through, and focusing on those specific events. However, if you have 6 years like you do, my advice is just start building everything one season at a time. Spring and summer are more calisthenics and cardio based, and fall and winter are more lifting and power, strength and power based, with some load bearing skills in there. Next thing you know, you've developed some things and maintained some levels of fitness each year. It gets better and better and better till you're good at everything. And that's where you want to be. I was selected Army OCS and leave mid-August. Awesome. Thank you for the programs. Currently on the Army Spec Ops program. Loving it. I hope Infantry Bullock is in my future. Yeah, good luck with that. You know, I've had a lot of guys do the that Army fitness test and just get ready for the ACFT. Even though it says ace the PFT, this is actually the ACFT. There's still some PFT stuff in there too, which will help you with, you know, Ranger school, because They still do pull up, push up, sit ups, and a 5 mile run. You'll probably go to Ranger School as an officer right after Bullock. Yeah, crush that. I think you'll have fun with that. And you got a good program that you're on, should make infantry training much more successful for you. About to finish your phase four book, but still have 6 weeks until I leave for basic training. Phase four. This is a killer. It's a killer one. How'd you like that Hell Week one? You got to give me some feedback on that Hell Week simulator. That was a butt kicker. I enjoyed that one. I have completed 12 weeks to Bud. So what I'm asking is, what workout should I do in that time? My advice would be to assess yourself. You got 6 weeks, so you can actually you can see some improvements in some things and maintain others. But read this article here, and it's basically the assessment tools for to and through selection. You know, are you heavy for your height? You light for your height? Do you need to put on some mass? Are you great at treading and swimming? Might need to practice some of those skills versus really worry about your fitness and body mass size. Really kind of depends. So that list is going to walk you through a long section, bit by bit, of all these individual exercises that go into making a really good tactical athlete who is preparing for some spec ops program. So check that out. And if you're doing phase four, that's a hard one. So, you know, if you're doing that one without overuse or pains, you're probably pretty ready. Now it's just kind of, let's keep crushing workouts to get you through selection while maintaining your PST, and you'll be solid. Do you provide any training programming similar to the 13-week cycle of the Complete Guide to Navy SEAL Cross Training with the running program implemented to maintain a 5-minute mile? Well, here's the deal. You know, any generic training program, any of these books are generic training programs. If you want to run a 7-minute mile, you're going to have to do the math and figure out the goal pace for each of these workouts. If you run a 6-minute mile, same thing. You run a 5-minute mile, same deal. You're going to have to do the math and figure out where you need to hit your quarter miles and your half miles. You know, a 2:30 half mile is a 5-minute mile. So you're going to need to, you know, work on that pace to maintain 5-minute mile. So it's kind of up to you how you program these things. But these four books here, I don't think I have all four of them here. I have spring here, summer, fall, and winter are all part of a new seasonal tactical fitness programming. So I just wrote this last year. So Maximum Fitness was written by me 20 years ago. Still a good book, still good workouts, and it has helped people for decades. But these are my latest training programs, methodologies, just new workouts, new ideas to train people for mobility and treading water, and all of those skills are all very important. In fact, if you go to stusmithfitness.com, you will see a section in the horizontal navigation called seasonal periodization programs. They're all, in fact, I'll put this link in here, seasonal periodization programs, they're all really based on that first idea I had of breaking down each season into four different cycles. And these are four 13-week cycles. In fact, it's kind of important that I share this with you just to show you. You guys see this? So this is just that page. You go to stusmithfitness.com, click this section right here, seasonal periodization, STFP, right? Latest programs. I explain the difference between the elements of fitness and the events of selection. That's a really good podcast to listen to. And that's really what these are. These are a combination of training both the elements of fitness that you need throughout the year, along with the specific events of your selection, whether that's swimming with fins or rucking or preparing for boats and logs, you know, carrying things on your shoulder. All of these have to do with some form of seasonal periodization. So when you ask, do I have any other programs like that? Yes, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes. So I have a lot more. Yep. Oh, let's see. How should I go about asking? Oh, you're talking about the asking a mentor? Oh, no, say, hey, I heard you were a SEAL. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? How should I start training? You know, just ask them that before you go jump right into, hey, can you train me? You know, because someone may not have the time to train somebody else. What I would ask is say, hey, if you ever do any workouts here in the neighborhood, can I join you? Right? I don't want to take up any of your time training me. I'll just join you on what you do and try to see where I can. And if you can give me some, you know, coaching, I would appreciate it. You know, it's not easy to ask somebody to be a mentor or a coach to you, but trust me, people appreciate you asking for help and asking them to help you. It's flattering. So, some people may be jerks about it. Some people may be really cool about it. My advice is don't take any one of those personally, right? Whether he's a good guy or someone who's just going to challenge you with negative feedback, doesn't really matter. Just take it as feedback. Hey, Stu, what do you think of the best high school and college sports preparing for Army SF? And how much before selection would you stop and specifically prepare for it? Yeah, that's a great question. I would say Army SF is definitely going to be more into the load-bearing world. So anything that requires you to lift a lot of weights and build a foundation of strength and durability is going to be very helpful. Like if you're a running athlete who never lifts, yeah, you're going to do great on the runs, but those rucks may crush you. You know, carrying all the load-bearing equipment and mortars and, you know, team equipment may be very challenging. Log PT boats, for instance, if you're in the Navy. But yeah, for Army SF, rucking, running, log PT still. So if you're coming from a strength background, that would be where I would say an ideal candidate is. Not saying that an endurance candidate is not. That person just needs to get stronger. But you're coming from a strength background. You got a foundation of strength and power. That's great. Now let's rip that up and turn yourself into an endurance machine. In fact, there's another great article. It's called The Cardio Machine. Are you a cardio machine? Stu Smith. Let me see. There you go. Run, ruck, and swim. You know, this is what I call the Spec Ops Triathlon. And it's just a good one. And it's going to give you some pointers, you know, whether you're coming from a endurance background, you're coming from a strength background, and how the differences apply. Because some people come from a swimming background and they're not used to gravity at all. Right. So they really need to get in the weight room. They really need to start dealing with the impact forces of running and rucking. So that is my opinion on that. Maybe I'm biased because that was my journey. But I've also seen many great swimmers and endurance guys take time after their athletics to prepare for the load bearing activities of those special ops programs. So I would say probably going to take you at least a year if you're a power athlete, strength athlete, to become a good endurance candidate and build some muscle stamina and endurance. It's probably going to take you another year to come from a endurance background and put on some mass and strength. So there's my answer. I'm curious if some days I should do the swim first before the rest of my workout, just to mimic the PST. Most of your programs have the swim last. Are there any drawbacks to this? No. And my swims aren't last. They're just at the bottom of the column. So some people, depending on their pool availability, have to swim first. So bump that up to first just because that's what it is. But yes, if you want to make it resemble the PST, absolutely. Swim first. Get those swims out of the way. Learn how to do calisthenics after you're a little bit tired from swimming, and then learn how to run after you're a little bit pumped up from doing the calisthenics. That's a great plan. Mine are just last because, you know, for most people, logistically, and for me personally, we do all of our workouts, you know, first thing in the morning. We're running, we're lifting, we're doing calisthenics, doing all of that, rucking. Then our pool opens at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we go swimming. So for us, it is literally an issue of the time the pool opens for us and when we start our workouts. That's all that is. And that's how I structure my workouts. So I just write it that way. But absolutely, these things can be changed and adapted. Once again, this is a generic program. I don't have anything first or last. Make it fit your schedule. Make it fit your abilities. You know, if you have to cut the mileage in half, that's what you have to do to get started. You know, especially if you get one of these books and you say, oh, this is too hard, I can't do it. Well, why don't you just try the system within the book, but cut your reps, cut your mileage, cut your swim time, you know, replace running with biking if they're too hard for you and you need to make those changes. At least you're on a system and you're going to make progress. Then after you go through the entire program, you're going to find that you don't have to make those changes as often as you used to, and then do the whole thing again with no changes. In fact, I've written an article about this. It's called Adapting Programs to Your Level of Fitness. I wrote this as a test article just to see how it would come out. So it's titled test article, but it's actually in the HTTP, the hyperlink, it's test article. But it's called Adapting Programs to Your Level of Performance and Still Reach Goals. So it's all about you know, how do you personalize it for you? Because this is not personal training. And just because I put it at the bottom doesn't mean swimming's last. Is it possible to prep for military while working as a firefighter or in an oil field? Sure. Depends on your job that you want to do in the military. I mean, if you're doing any spec ops prep, it's going to take you time. You know, there may be 2 to 3 hours in a day that you may need to use that time to prepare for whatever you're trying to endure, right? That may be running, swimming, rucking, calisthenics. It may mean some weight training. Just depends on your strengths and weaknesses, where they are on that spectrum. And then work on your weaknesses, maintain your strengths. May not take that long. I mean, I've seen people crank through these an hour and a half on a full day's work schedule, and that works too. Why would you want someone else to train you when you have Stu? Yeah, I think what he's talking about is just, you know, a local guy in his town. You know, he doesn't live near me. But yeah, I mean, I do have a lot of training plans that you can follow, but sometimes it is nice to just have some feedback from somebody from that community that you're trying to get into, just to ask basic questions. And so I have no problem with people asking, you know, all of my buddies that are SEALs get asked questions. A lot of them send them those questions and people to me and say, just go talk to Stu. He's the guy to talk to. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, Alex, but at the same time, if you have a resource, you know, such as a Navy SEAL in your neighborhood or friends with, that's a really big resource, because you can get some feedback, get to know that person, and also see that it's not an impossibility. I think one of the biggest challenges for people going into any spec ops world job is they never know or have never met someone in that job until they are already in selection. Then they meet their first BUDS instructor and they're like, wow, that's impressive, right? But, you know, if you meet somebody who's just an average guy that likes to work out and still does a really cool job, you realize, you know, wow, you know, he's just a regular guy. You know, he's not some, you know, 6'4", 240-pound collegiate athlete who's, you know, got all the genetics to make it through. He's just a 5'8", 160-pound dude that made it through SEAL training, because you can do that. So it takes a little bit of that impossibility factor away. I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Naval Academy guys do well. You know, a lot of my local guys who, you know, enlist, come here and do well, is that they see people in front of them make it through, and they learn long before they're even in the delayed entry program. They learn, that's the scores I need before I go in the delayed entry program. That's the things I need to be doing before I join the Navy. That's the things I need to be whenever I get to BUDS. And they see that, because there is something. You got to see it to believe it. You know, there's something to be said about that. So, there you go. Let's see. Hey, Stu, 40-60-235. Want to join the Coast Guard. What's your opinion on that career option? Coast Guard have increased their age limit to 42. I've powerlifted all my life. Yeah. You're going to have to lose a lot of bulk and muscle. And I will tell you this, lifelong powerlifters, when I tell them, don't even go into the weight room anymore, they look at me funny and they say, I'm going to lose all my gains. Well, you need to. You're probably stronger than two people. Now you just need to work on all of those weaknesses that a 6 foot 350-pound dude has, and that is just being too big to run, not agile enough to do other activities, up and down ladders, obstacle courses, things like that, high rep calisthenics, right? So all of those are going to be requirements of your Coast Guard training. Swimming, you know, treading water, you know, all those life-saving skills that you're going to need to learn. So my advice is start losing weight. But there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's, get out of the weight room and start walking. Because let me tell you, at 350, you're already rucking, right? Because if you lose 100 pounds, you get down to 250, you're still going to be overweight for the height weight standards of the Coast Guard. But if you walk at 350, you're rucking 150 pounds compared to what you need to be whenever you join the Navy. Probably need to get down to about 200, 210 pounds. So, I mean, that's a hell of a ruck. And you're going to burn a lot of calories being that heavy just walking. So my advice is literally walk your ass off every day. And if that hurts because you're walking at 350 pounds, which would not be abnormal, I would say get on a bike, get on an elliptical, get on something, you know, go swimming. Swimming would probably be preferred non-impact cardio since it is Coast Guard and there are some swimming requirements. But that's what I would do. And quit eating like you're a power lifter, football player, and start eating like a 200-pound person who needs about 2,000 calories a day. Just eating less is going to probably cause you to lose weight, eating like a normal human. A lot of us, you know, that were in the powerlifting football world that would eat, you know, 4,000 calories a day just to maintain weight, 5,000 or more just to gain weight. That was hard to do. Yeah. Move more, eat less. I know it's a easier said than done, but you got to eat well too. Those 2,000 calories need to be nutritious calories. They can't be, you know, processed foods, things like that. Fruits, vegetables, good proteins. And just walk your ass off. Start doing calisthenics. In fact, I do have a calisthenics and cardio program that might be ideal for you. And you can put in a lot more time than that's in that beginner program and just, like I said, walk, keep moving. But good luck. Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with that. 40 years old, going to boot camp, seen it happen many times. I got a guy that was 38, 40 years old, one at 40 who made it through SF training. So what do you personally do to keep calm when running out of breath underwater? That's a tough one. You know, it takes a little bit of time. You do have to relax and get yourself up to the surface to breathe. But I have found that swallowing spit or water, you know, having something go down my throat into my stomach at that same time as kind of panicking or feeling like I'm making whale noises, you know, does relax all these little muscles in the throat, and it can calm you down. So it's kind of hard to do when you're panicking. Try not to panic. Try to stay calm and just know your next breath of air is going to be very fulfilling. So yeah, let's see what else we got. My country doesn't need me to learn CSS. Do you recommend me swimming only freestyle? And my workouts are mixing some breaststroke and backstroke. I would do this. You know how we do the 50-50 to get in shape for the CSS? Just do 50-50 with freestyle breaststroke to get in shape for any swim test you might have. And then when you swim with fins, you can change it up. If you don't want to do side stroke with it, swim with freestyle with fins. And then maybe every 100 yards or so, get on your back and just do flutter kicks. We call it turtle backing for 25 or 50 yards and just make that a big workout. Freestyle hard for 100, you know, turtle back for 50. Yeah, it's up to you. But yeah, that's how I would do it. Do you recommend rucking before buds? Yeah, just to get used to it because you're going to be carrying a boat on your head and running with a log, you getting an understanding of how that load bearing feels is very important. You will ruck in third phase. You'll carry tanks on your back in second phase. They used to do rucking in first phase. I'm not sure if they're going to bring that back or not, but it was something that they needed to add during the war just to get better at rucking because everybody was on land rucking. So it depends. I mean, my day, we didn't ruck in first phase. We carried tanks in second phase and we rucked in third phase a lot. Never, I don't think we went anywhere without a ruck. So yes, I would recommend it. And usually what we do is we just run, ruck, swim. We call it the Spec Ops Triathlon. So build up to a 4 mile run, 4 mile ruck, 1 mile swim, all in one big session. It's a fun little workout. I promise you, to get you ready for rucking at Bud's and running. Thank you, JT. Appreciate it. Is 60 kilograms too light for 5'7"? Currently 80 kilograms. Body fat is a bit high. So let me go into my Google machine and see what 80 kilograms is in pounds. Looks like that is 176 for 5'7". Is that what that is? 5'7". And then 60 kilograms is 132. Yeah, that's way too light. You don't want to do that. At 5'7", I would say keep where you are. 175, 180 is fine. I mean, you can be 165 to 175, I guess, at that height. But you want it to be mostly muscle. So it's not really necessarily you being overweight. I just think you probably have too much body fat and you need more muscle, which, you know, gaining 0 pounds while you lift is a good thing. What you're going to see is, instead of weight gain, you're going to see shirts fitting tighter because you're putting on mass in your shoulders, chest, and arms. And hopefully you'll see your legs getting bigger, putting on mass down there, and your waist is getting smaller. So you might be able to assess yourself by just checking your belt loop. Is that getting smaller? Is the scale staying the same and you're getting bigger? So that means you're building muscle and burning fat at the same time and might have a net loss of zero, but you're picking up 10 pounds of muscle, losing 10 pounds of fat. Does that make sense? It can happen together. And it often does, and people don't realize it. You know, they think that, oh man, I'm not losing any weight, but well, they're losing inches. And that's really what you want to focus on right now. Just lose inches around the waist. What are your thoughts on Navy SEAL physical training guide? That's an old one. It's, you know, over 20 years old as well. Not bad though. It's got some good details in it. You know, I try to read as much as I can of anybody that comes out with a training guide. I will tell you this. If you want a more up-to-date version and a really good textbook on tactical fitness, this is it. Building the Elite. I mean, it is a thick textbook, small print. It's a lot to read. It's more of a reference guide for me, to be honest with you, but I like reading these things. I mean, it has everything from stress inoculation to, you know, psychology, physiology, you know, optimal performance, resiliency, everything in it. But it's very scientifically written. So I enjoy that stuff. I enjoy reading that kind of stuff and then writing articles that aren't necessarily scientifically written, but they're scientifically based. So that is something that I try to do with all my writings, make them a little more consumable, I guess, instead of throwing in 20 words that I need to look up in a dictionary. But all of that is useful too. I mean, any of those programs will make you smarter in how to train and just the science behind it. Can't go wrong with that. 55142. Working on my calisthenics and run times, but I don't have a pool in my area to practice. That being said, what do you recommend I do to physically continue prepare for the PST? Need to find some water. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you try this journey and you don't get in the water to swim, to pass PST, to swim with fins, to get through Buds, to practice treading and other pool skills, you're ignoring the elephant in the room for SEAL training. It's the water. And if you can't get in the water, you know, one, find some water, or two, you might want to consider something else besides something that requires water. And if you're 17, my advice is finish growing because you're small. Maybe go to college or maybe a community college. Maybe there's a pool there that you can use because you're now a student. That's one of the great things about going to college. I know it's not for everybody, but if you can find an affordable college that's, you know, state college or community college, our local community college here is excellent and it has a pool. You now have facilities that can enable you to train better. So consider that journey. And don't, my advice is don't go to Buds at 17, 18 years old, especially if you can't find a pool and you're that small. You're about the size of a really fit woman. We had a female that trained with us and she was about 5'5", 140, jacked, and could deadlift for reps 225, no problem, 20 pull-ups, run 6-minute miles, fireman carry a dude 200 pounds. I mean, she was tough, and she's a EOD officer right now. So you need to finish growing and get bigger and stronger. Find a pool if this is your journey. Don't be in a hurry. I'd hate to see you screw it up in your teens and then spend the Navy 4 years doing a crap job, can't get back to Buds because your year group's full. Don't even talk to a recruiter right now. Just run away from any recruiter that calls you. And if you're talking to one now, you're stupid. Really, you are. It's just one of those things that you're nowhere near ready, and their job is not to get you ready. You need to be proactive in getting ready yourself. You know, that's, don't mean to call you stupid if you're doing that, but it's a rough journey if you go there underprepared. Thoughts on Foreign Legion? I really want to get out of my country. Seems to be dead end politically, and apparently we have achieved 48% unemployment rate. Damn. I think it's a great way to serve. Don't know anybody who's personally done it, that I personally helped do it. I would say if you're looking for a training program, definitely go with like the Army SF training program, because there's a lot of running and a lot of rucking and a lot of calisthenics. You're going to be rucking your ass off and sand, like desert sand. So it's going to suck. It's not easy. So hang in there. Get after it. The only exercise in third phase is the 2-mile swim. No, I mean, you're doing underwater explosive stuff. The swims were actually longer in third phase. I think we did some 3 and 3.5 mile swims. Just because you're at the island, it's so nice. But you will also do the 5.5 nautical mile swim, which is 11,000 yard swim in third phase as well before you go to the island. Yeah, it's not second phase anymore. We did it in second phase in my day. I bought your PST workout book, looking to be a Navy SEAL, and thanks for your CSS videos. I finally learned how to do that. Nice. Any suggestions to make my swim stronger for now? My advice is to get on that 50-50. If you have this book, the 50-50 is spread throughout this thing all the time in a nice orderly sequence that it's not just too boring to do the 50-50. You're mixing in some fins. I think swimming with fins is going to also help you stronger kicks. Yeah. Just keep practicing, you know, and then start practicing those skills. Every time you jump in a pool, make sure you're either warming up with a 500 or you're cooling down with a 10-minute tread, no hands. Build up to 10 minutes. It's going to take you a little while. Might need to learn how to change kicks from scissor kicks to little flutter kicks to egg beater kicks in order to do it. A lot of mobility is going to help you with that. So, yeah, that's what I would do. Just do the book. It's all in there. All that stuff. Do you have any advice to keep my ears, head from hurting for an hour or so after swimming? That's weird. I don't know. You swimming in cold water? Open water? Getting water in your ears? I don't know. Sometimes I'll get water in my ears, and what I'll do is I'll get half of my face in the water and just kind of go up and down like this. Get my ear in the water, and that water will eventually just, once you just kind of stay over there, to just pull everything out of your ear, and then do it on the other side. That's a tough one, man. I never had any ear problems other than scuba diving. I made it a mission to listen to that. I've avoided going to them until, like you say, crushing the PST. Also, I'm looking to get a YMCA membership. Good. You got to do that. I don't care if you get an extra job just to pay for your YMCA membership. A lot of times, if you tell them you're going in the military, they'll hook you up, because a lot of times the delayed entry program kids can get a discount. But don't go join the delayed entry program just to do that, because once you're in the delayed entry program, you're no longer on your timeline. You're now on the Navy recruiter's timeline, which can say, hey, we got a ship date for you in 2 months from now. You ready to go? You're probably not ready, right? So be ready when you join the Navy. And then whenever you ship, it's just extra time to train versus, oh my God, I only have 2 months to prepare. Hope I pass the PST and get a, you know, contract to go to BUDS. That's not the way to do it. You show up your first day of taking the PST, you crush the PST, and now guess what? All those recruiters are going to take you seriously and be ready for you to ship whenever you want versus watching you fail a PST every week. So, all right, guys. Where'd that hour go? What a day. It's a good day. I got an article to finish. I'll be back tomorrow. I got some swim videos to show you guys. Just had myself videoed today. Guys, I can show you me swimming compared to some of the guys I'm teaching. Sometimes a coach has to get in there and do it. And picture's worth a thousand words sometimes. So, all right, folks, with that, I will chat with you guys tomorrow. If you guys have time, check out Stu Smith Fitness. If I missed any questions, you can email me at this email down here, stu@stusmith.com. But check out Stu Smith Fitness. And if you're sticking around this long, thank you. You can use the Live15 coupon and save 15%. On the books and ebooks program, such as the Seasonal Tactical Fitness program, the Army PFT, CFT, Rucking Prep, Hardcore Grinder, Hell Week Prep. All of those are available right there in book or ebook form. Just read the title and you can tell which one's which. One says book, one says ebook. All right. So until then, till tomorrow, I will see you tomorrow morning at 9:30. So hit that like button. Thanks for coming out. I'll chat with you later.